comes from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 36 to 42. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Now in Joppa there was a disciple, whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and to acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with a request, "Please come without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to a room upstairs. All the widows stood outside, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling to the saints and the widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Most gracious God, hide this preacher behind the cross that your people might see you, that they might hear you and not me. Father, I pray that we might be transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. Pray that something said will attach itself to us and give us hope, maybe in the midst of a hopeless situation, to be light if we're walking in darkness, to bring comfort if that's what we stand in need of. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For us in Christ's name I pray. Amen. When I was at boot camp in Beaufort, South Carolina, in the Marine Corps, one of my drill instructors called me over. You know, they're not nice about anything. So, "Private Parson, get over here." You always think you've done something wrong when they call you. And I ran over, said, "Private Parson, reporting." He says, "I want you to march the troops to the chow hall. You've got 77 Marines, and I want you to command them. And so you got to march them and march them well, but your voice has to be loud." So, "All right, Gunny." So I walked over, and the Marines were at parade rest. I gave the command, "Attent!" Marines stood at attention. "Forward! Out!" And they began to march. And the drill instructor, he's behind me. He's seeing everything that I'm doing. And just as we got to the street, we needed to cross the street. Just before the street, I gave the command, "Mark time! March!" And the Marines began to march in place. I said, "Runners, move!" And the runners went out and they blocked the traffic like this. And as we passed and made it across the street safe, then I said, "Runners, in!" And the runners came in and we began to move. As we got to the chow hall, it's probably about a mile and a half, the total distance. And as we got there, I said, "Platoon, halt, right, face, parade, rest." Marines did exactly what I told them to do. The drill instructor says, "Private Parson, get over here." And I'm thinking, what in the world did I do now? He says, "How in the world did you know how to do that?" He said, "You marched them perfectly. Your cadence was excellent. How in the world did you know how to do that?" And you can't use the word "I" because it means you're an individual. And you can't use the word "you." Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because they'll call, they say, "Are you calling me a female sheep?" So you can't use the word "you." So I had to think about it. I said, the private watched the drill instructor and mimicked what the private saw the drill instructor do. The private knew that one day the private would have an opportunity to lead. And the private wanted to lead just as well as the drill instructor. He looked at me. He didn't know what to say. He said, "Get out of my face, you filthy maggot." But my point is simply this: follow the leader. follow the leader. And you saw it was modeled for us by Susan as she said, you follow what I do, and all the kids follow what she did. And usually in the game, the person who doesn't follow, they're usually out. And then it goes to the last person, and then that person becomes the leader, and it starts all over again. But I think that this is what Jesus wanted to initiate with the disciples. Follow what I do. Follow what you see me do. Let's forget all of this, who's number one, who will be first in the kingdom. No, follow what I do. Mimic what you see me do. Respond to my Father the way you saw me respond to my Father. In this particular text, I love the testimony of the widows. I mean, Tabitha apparently was a woman of great charity, a woman who was very generous. This was a poor town. They didn't have a whole lot, but whatever she had, she was willing to share with those who were in need. And there, Peter was about 11 miles away, and they sent for him. They knew that Peter would know what to do. He walked with Jesus. But you're saying to yourself, but she's dead. What do you want Peter to do? They said, send for Peter. And they send for Peter, and Peter heard all about Tabitha and her works and her love for the people, and he went. When he got there, imagine with me, these widows are wailing. They're crying. They're weeping. They're probably showing him garments. Look what you made. I wouldn't even had anything if it wasn't for Tabitha. You see, Jesus had a huge effect on Tabitha. And the way that she lived her life was important. How she treated other people was important to her. One of the greatest things that we can do is to invest in the lives of other people. Amen? That's one of the greatest investments we can do. And when you look at the life of Tabitha, she shared what she had with others. She was generous with what she had. What I want to say to you this morning is how we live our lives matter. Amen? How we treat other people, it matters. Some of you have heard me share this, but I'll share it again because I know all of you haven't heard it, which gives me an opportunity to share it. I was 14 years old, and I came up with this question thinking that I was going to challenge my grandmother in some way. And so I said, Grandma, what was the best sermon you've ever heard? And I'm thinking at 77, if she went to church every Sunday without failing, that's 4,004 sermons she's heard. But I'm thinking she's gone to revivals, she's been to funerals and heard eulogies, she's been to weddings and she's heard homilies. Who was the best? And so I thought that I came up with this thought-provoking question that I would stump my grandmother. And without missing a beat, she says, the best sermon that I ever heard is the sermon that was lived. We preach our eulogy every day by the way we live. Listen to the widows talking about Tabitha. How good she is, how she had blessed them, how they had nothing but this woman, this great woman. Peter, what can you do for us? Peter noticed that they're wailing and they're crying, and he asked all of them to leave the room. And he got down on his knees and he began to pray. And then he says, Tabitha, sit up. She opened her eyes and she sat up. And he held out his hand and he returned her to her friends. Your question is, how did Peter know how to do that? How did he know that somehow he possessed power to raise up the dead? How did Peter know how to do that? He had seen Jesus do it. He had seen Jesus pray to the Father and do some incredible things. In Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17, he had seen Jesus raised the widow's son and Nan. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26, Jesus had raised the daughter of Jairus. And then in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44, we all know this story where he had raised Lazarus. Peter saw him do it. He saw Jesus pray to the Father and was able to do miraculous things. He saw the humility of Jesus. He saw that Jesus had prayed and then believed and was able to do something incredible. So your question might be, well, what kind of people do God use? Does God only use those with a high IQ? Like Brother Daniel? Does God only use beautiful women like you and a handsome guy like you? What kind of people does God use? The one that has great leadership, the most wealthy. I think the people that God uses, people whose hearts are right. He used the humble. If you go back and you look at the Old Testament or the New Testament, you can go from Abraham to Joseph to David, King David. You can come into anybody that you want to look at, and you look at their life, and you'll see that they humbled themselves before God. Humility. Humility that I'm talking about is not something that's weak and wimpy. You see, humility is strength and power under the direction of God, where we yield ourselves to be a conduit of what God wants to do in our lives. You go to a hospital room, you have no idea what to say to someone in the hospital. But you say that little prayer, Lord, give me the words. And before you know it, something comes to mind. One time I went visiting with my grandmother, and we were in the elevator, and she closed her eyes and said, Grandma, are you scared to be on the elevator? She said, no, son. She says, we're going to visit Miss Amanda, and I don't know what to pray for. I don't know what to say. And so when I close my eyes, I'm just praying because I know God will show up and he'll give me the words. She knew that God can use her as a conduit for what God wanted to do. And God can use you and me. Some of you looking at me and saying, can anything good come out of Jersey City? I don't know. But I just want to humble myself at all times so that I might be of utility for God. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? What kind of people does God use? He uses the humble. I was reading something and it said that the only way to fight the devil, the enemy, to get away from the devil's schemes is to have a humble heart. Isn't that awesome? J.B. Myers says that we need to decrease so that God might be increased in our lives. It's not all about you. I don't know how many times I have to tell my son that. It's not about you. The world doesn't evolve because you exist. It's not always about you. It's about God, what God wants us to do. And so I continue to challenge those of us at Providence, and for those of you in particular who said, you know, I've done my job already. I've served on those committees. You know, when I read the Great Commission, it's not age specific. So it doesn't say we get to retire. Anybody? So when I call on you, it's because we need you. I'm so grateful for people like a Gracie Martin. Is she in here? Always serving. Always willing to give of her time and her energy. Jimmy Sculpthoff, Hugh Miles, these people work tirelessly for this church, giving of their time, their energy, utilizing their gifts. Robbie, if I could give out a halo, I'd give you a halo, because your job has not been easy. But that's what it's about. It's about serving. And what I love about what Martin Luther King Jr. says, he says it this way. You don't need a college degree in order to serve. You don't need to make your subject and your verb agree in order to serve God. You don't need to know about Plato or Aristotle in order to serve. You don't need to know about Einstein's theory of relativity in order to serve. You don't need to know the second theory of thermodynamics and physics in order to serve. All you need is a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. Amen. That's what God is looking for from you and I. Humility. And that's when our hearts are right. And he can mold us to what he wants us to become. I pray that as we have prayer, that maybe you might say, Lord, what more can I do for you? How best can I serve you? If you've got life in your body, then you can serve. Amen? I only heard a few amens. Amen? Amen? Daniel, would you lead us in prayer?
Let us bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, we pray this day for courage. We pray this day that you transform us into the tools for your righteousness in this world. Let us be reminded of our call to go out into the world and not remain within the confines of these walls and the walls we have built up to guard ourselves. There are too many cries of pain and suffering echoing throughout the world and in our own countries. Today we pray for those victims of the earthquake in Washington. We pray that you be with them. But we also pray that you use us to show your message of endless love, boundless grace, and eternal resurrection to those people and to all the people enduring personal storms of all magnitudes. Just like the scripture says today, we ask that you rejuvenate our dead spirits and make us able to walk down the paths that you would have us walk down. Just like Jesus walked down the path you set before him. Help us to follow our leader, And as we pray in unison today, let us be reminded that we are never alone in this journey. That you, O God, and this congregation, the body of Jesus Christ, goes with us wherever we are and whatever we do. Now let us pray the Lord's Prayer with new vigor and new emotion, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.